Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to The Art of Film Funding. I'm your co-host, Claire Papin, along with Carol Dean, author of the best-selling book, The Art of Film Funding. Carol is also the founder and president of From the Heart Productions and the host of this show.
Our very special guest, Christy Marchese, is the founder and CEO of Kinema. Kinema revolutionizes how films are distributed, opening new opportunities for filmmakers and studios to reach their audiences and maximizing revenue through screening tours, virtual events, and TVOD. She was previously the founder of the impact agency Picture Motion and led as CEO for 9 years. Prior to PicMo, she ran Impact for Righteous Pictures, led digital strategy for the Social Action Group at Participant Media, and handled program coordination and social media strategy at Norman Lear's nonprofit, Declare Yourself. She's won several industry recognitions, including being named one of Fortune's Rising Female Founders in 2023 and Fast Company's Most Creative People in 2021, currently on the board of Subject Matter and the Reinvent Stockton Foundation and the Capacity Council for Brown Girls Doc Media. She holds a BA from SDSU in International Security and Conflict Resolution with a focus on Arabic and the Middle East. And Carol, all of us are interested in learning about new ways to distribute films.
Yes, Claire, we really appreciate the work that you're doing, Christy. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Okay, well, let's get into what Kinema does, because on your site it says, at Kinema we help audiences discover and watch great films in creative places and in community with others. We do this by running an online platform, licensed and delivery platform. So tell us about this platform and how it works, please.
Sure, I'm happy to. And I'll adjust the pronunciation a little bit as we pronounce it Kinema, as it rhymes with cinema, which is we found when we were naming ourselves during the pandemic, we didn't say our name aloud a lot. It was written down in emails. And afterwards, we're like, I can see how there are many different ways to pronounce this word. But we do call it Kinema like cinema. So we built this platform initially to support screening tours, the screening tours being a form of non-theatrical distribution. So at my last company, Picture Motion, we would develop impact campaigns for films that had any sort of social or positive mission or message to them. And a big part of that strategy was coordinating these screenings. They could be grassroots in communities, at churches or with nonprofits. They could be larger premiere or big community engagement events in larger cities. But at the end of the day, it was helping get these films to the right audiences outside the traditional distribution system. And we found that the more we did these word of mouth screenings and community screenings and had people watch the film together, the more powerful the campaign was and the better the film did down the line as it would release to different streaming platforms or direct to audience. So we leaned light into tech, and the idea was let's create an easy booking system that's a secure way to deliver film files to in-person screenings and a way for filmmakers to get paid for those licenses quickly. But of course, we've evolved over time. And so now, thanks to a pandemic and big changes in the market, we kind of compare ourselves to Etsy, in a sense. It's the closest I can come up with right now, where we provide a set of tools for filmmakers or distributors to make their film available to book for in-person events, but also specialty online events, a live stream where the audience can watch together and talk, an affiliate link where a partner can have their own virtual cinema and split the ticket revenue. And now, as you said, we have a direct-to-audience option of watch now via transactional VOD. So the intention is make a platform that's easy for filmmakers to use, get paid quickly, and for audiences to discover fantastic new titles that they might not have otherwise.
Okay, that's quite a lot. Okay. let's talk about the three events you host. So first, let's start with in-person, then go to virtual and on-demand. So how does it work to do an in-person screening? What does that mean, in-person?
So in-person is you are an organization, a business, a museum, a place of worship, a yoga studio. We've got some bars, but these are physical spaces that have another primary purpose besides supporting movie going. So they're trying to bring people in their door, or they're trying to build community, or they're trying to support a message or a cause. So they already have the physical space and typically have an audience, whether it's an email list or a group of people that come in the door regularly, or they're using the film to attract people. So that's an in-person screening. And we've built a film delivery service that allows them to go on our site, choose a film, pay a licensing fee or agree to sell tickets, and then we will magically send them the film file to download securely, and they can play in their physical space. Does that appropriately make sense?
Yes. So already across America, there are communities that are joined together, and they have monthly, bi-monthly screenings, and so they contact you for material. Right.
So we have nailed it. We have a mix of screening hosts. So we have our own database of screening hosts that we've built over the last few years as Kinema. We also have relationships from my previous work at Picture Motion. But I will say a majority of the hosts do come in for, maybe half. Many hosts come in directly for one specific film because that filmmaker is really active in their screening tour. Whether the filmmaker just knows their audience really well, or they've been building partnerships along the way, or maybe they have an impact campaign coordinator on their team that's helping do that outreach for those specific venues or audiences. But yes, then they come to the platform, and the tech takes them through the booking process.
Okay, and you split, you become their distributor for this. So you invoice, you collect the money, and then you pay the filmmaker?
Oh, that is it. Existential question that we have. Are we a distributor? We wonder that often. I think we provide distribution services. We say we are a distribution platform, but we don't really take the formal role of being a film's official distributor. So every film on our site, the rights for that film are maintained by the filmmaker, or they may have a distribution partner that's handling their theatrical that owns those rights. But we don't take those rights, in a sense. Anytime a screening host books a screening, they're licensing it directly from that rights holder.
Okay, so it's a perfect place for people who don't want to give up their rights to a distributor but want to do it themselves to make as much profit as possible, right?
Exactly. I think for many filmmakers, there's a few things that are happening right now. They know their audience really, really well, and so they feel if they're going to be doing the marketing efforts and that big lift that they should understandably receive a larger portion of the revenue. And on top of that, they get access to their audience data. They know who's booking, where. They can see in real time what the RSVPs are, and allows them to, over time, build a relationship with that audience. We do very much care about privacy. But when someone gets a ticket to an event or watches on TVOD, they can choose to share their email with the filmmaker. And we really encourage filmmakers to then take those email addresses and send a message, send a thank you, or add them to the email list and give, a behind-the-scenes clip or another way they can stay involved to keep engaging with that audience, not just for their goals for this film, but also for future projects.
Yes. This is brilliant. This is very important. That's what you lose when you go to Amazon or any of the streamers. You don't know who's watching it. You have they don't report to you, and you don't get those emails. So this is great.
This is true. There are, of course, benefits. Now, Amazon has a much larger platform than we do. Apple has a much larger platform. And there are users of those platforms that will always keep going to those spaces to watch films. So, but when we look at it, if you're the filmmaker, like to your point, who is really doing that extra work, and then their audience is disappearing into those platforms, we like to be another alternative for them. If you're going to be doing the marketing or the ad spend or the press, when you send people to watch the film through us, whether it's through a screening or directly watching through a rental, you will have that audience data and you will know who they are, and you can see in real time if your efforts are working. So we think that at the end of your film's life cycle, absolutely look at being on platforms like Amazon and iTunes and Roku and other places that do have existing large audiences. But if you're going to be doing the work yourself or with other partners in what Emily Best from Season Spark calls active distribution, not self-distribution, because you're not just doing it on your own, you have partners. If you're doing that active distribution, it makes sense to send people to a place that you have a bit more control to share your message and can begin to build a relationship with your audience.
Yes, very important, because that can be your audience for life. If they like you mm-hmm. as a filmmaker, they'll stay with you. That's right. I see that from collecting donations from people. You know, they want to support you. That's what they love. Okay, let's talk about the virtual screening. What's that like?
Yes. So this was something that we developed during the pandemic. So when we launched, we were all in person. Pandemic hit. So our amazing tech team quickly spun up a virtual cinema that was a live experience. So it means a screening host can create a virtual screening, set the date and start time, and promote that event to their audience. And they can sell tickets or make it for free if they paid the licensing up front. And then the audience shows up, and the film starts right on time. Everyone has a synchronized view of it, and there's a text chat where everyone can join and chat with each other. We put a prompt question in there. Oftentimes, the filmmakers or partners are also in that chat, so it feels like a very communal experience. And then we also have the ability for the host of the event or the filmmakers or both to do a live conversation before or after the film plays. So it's a great way to get everyone watching together energetically, share additional messages, and again, build that relationship as they will be chatting with each other in the chat, and then also can watch you, the filmmaker, and listen directly via a video stream and ask questions in real time. And it's been interesting to watch kind of how hosts and audiences use our platform over time. Of course, you know, pre-pandemic was all in person, pandemic, all virtual. And we started to see a dip in our live virtual events probably like about a year ago. And then about 6 months ago, they started to come back up because we're seeing filmmakers really, really creatively use that tool and to create what we call like artificial scarcity. The film is only available for this time and place. You have to show up, and it's going to be extra special because the filmmakers are there or there's a giveaway or whatever the reasoning is. And now we're seeing less screenings overall that are these live virtual events, but a much higher volume. Every week we're seeing one to two events at least that are a minimum of 1,000 people attending these specialty events. So while lower in volume overall for the number of screenings, much higher in volume for an attendance rate for the individual events.
That's wonderful. And how many people can your platform hold? 1,000 people in one event is incredible.
Yeah, no, it's very scalable because as we've learned, we've built it to be a bit flexible. So we don't really have a cap on the number of people. We haven't seen more than, I think, maybe 8,000, 9,000 people. We're just under 9,000 people have shown up for a single event. We've built the tech to be flexible. Now, it's tech. You know, it's not perfect. You know, HBO would crash when Game of Thrones turned on Sundays. So there has happened in the past where we've had a million hits at once and the tech is, you know, has to come back to support it. But overall, no, we have a really solid, seamless experience for these live events for a high volume of people.
Wonderful. Well, let's go back. Let's continue. We've got on demand. So tell us the on demand.
Oh, yes.
How does that work?
Yes. So if you're creating an on-demand screening event as a screening host, you're essentially allowing your audience to watch the film online on their own time, but within a given window that you set. So this is great for if you're a business and you're offering something for your employees, and you're saying, hey, we want you all to watch this film because it supports our messaging, or it's a cool sneak peek, and you have the weekend to watch it or 7 days to watch it. They can put their logo in the virtual cinema. They can customize the text underneath that supports or states why they're sharing this film. And then they can set the window for as little as 1 day, 24 hours, or as long as 30 days. And we found this is great for, one, you know, if you really want to get the film out to your audience or to your followers, but they're distributed, like if you're more of an online presence or online influencer versus a brick-and-mortar, you know, office or a group of people that all gather at the same time. So it's a great way to allow people to watch on their own time, but also in a space that connects them. We also can add any sort of pre-recorded messaging before or after the film. So if it's a special message from the filmmaker or a recorded Q&A from a special event or that the, you know, whoever's hosting the event wants to add, we can add that to the event. We've also found it's a great way to sell tickets. So if you're an influencer with a large following, you can have create your own virtual cinema and sell tickets, and you split those tickets with the filmmaker. So you don't pay the fee up front, but then you get rewarded for promoting the film by getting half of the ticket sales or half of the revenue from the ticket sales.
Right. Okay. Well, at the same time you're selling the tickets, do you sell downloads or hats or other materials?
I wish. One day. I love merch. I love merch. I get a lot of merch. If I love a film or a filmmaker or a storyteller, like, I want the merch. I think we've, as a culture, especially younger people, love this idea of like a universe and really participating in things in full force. So
yeah.
We don't have that option through our site. But if the filmmaker does have a merch store on another platform, they can link to that from their film landing page. Eventually, yes, I would love to have an integration where after you watch the film or on our site on that film page, you can directly purchase merch from that filmmaker or partner.
Okay, and what about donations? If people want to donate, can that be done?
Sort of. So we don't have the ability to just add a donation right away. Like, we're working on that. It's in the roadmap. We know it's really important. So instead, if an organization's using the screening as a fundraiser, it comes directly from the ticket price. So whether it's a live event or virtual or in-person, they set that ticket price, and they can raise money through the sale of those tickets.
Great. Okay. Yeah. Now, the whole thing works on the audience, so let's get back to how do you find your audience? Can you take us through that? That seems to be what's missing in most people's minds. You know I have an audience, but finding them is the next thing.
Yes, as I have an audience, that's the first step. You pinpointed the most important first step is know who your audience is. And I have other friends in the business who have said this. I got it from them, but actually it's probably Emily at best again, just a brilliant woman, where if you say your film is for everybody, then it's for nobody. And the truth is, yes, your film is likely to be liked by a lot more people than you think. I'm not a big soccer fan. I just watched a movie about soccer. I loved it. They wouldn't have been able to reach me. But I heard about it from a friend who does love soccer and did love this film. So I think it's first being very, very focused and specific in who your immediate audience is. And that could be based off of what your film is about. Are there skateboarders in the film? Is it about horse racing? Is it about a certain social justice issue? And you know there's communities actively working towards this, both from a nonprofit standpoint and geographically. Really, really being as specific as possible, especially if your film is featuring underrepresented populations in the U.S. So if your film is where someone can really feel seen in their film or represented, that's another great way to kind of define your audience. And then reaching them. And it's what's so great about what we have right now in film distribution is there are many ways to get your film out there. We have the internet. You can upload to YouTube if you needed to. You work with sites like ours to make it available on TVOD. But how do you find them? And first, define who your audience is. Second, who do they listen to and where do they get their information? And that could be from organizations that they follow. If you work in the impact space, you'll want to partner with organizations who cover those topics, work in those areas, and have email lists and social following. And we encourage reaching out to those organizations and discuss what a partnership might look like. And partnerships can have many tiers. We have, I think, three tiers at Picture Motion. Are they a promotional partner? They're just going to put on their social. Are they a more engaged action partner? Are they going to inform the campaign and it's a two-way street? You're highlighting the organization in your work. They're promoting you on their socials, emails. Or are they more a deeper rooted partner? They're really devising your social impact strategy and being hands-on on how you both reach those audiences. So there's that from an organizational standpoint. Then there's the media part, so press. Where is your audience getting their news or information on those topics? I don't just mean, you know, the New York Times, or the LA Times. Is there Horse Writers Magazine for women over 25? Like, where are they? Once you know their audience, go find who they're following, what they're listening to, and what they're reading, and focus on those types of publications. And a third is social. Like, this is, we are all on social media, probably way too much, but we can't help it. This is where we're at as a culture right now. And we do follow people. We follow influencers and the micro-influencers. So who are the individuals that cover, that hit your demographic and maybe cover these topics? And they could be more micro-influencers. They can have under 100,000 or under 50,000 followers. And this is where all three of these things just take time, organization, and spreadsheets, especially if you're doing your own active distribution. Take the time to do this research, find who these individuals are, and invite them to screenings and bring them into the process. You're even seeing this on the larger movie studio releases. They have influencer red carpets. They have talked to the head of entertainment from TikTok. She's engaging. She knows who the film talk people are and is working with the studios to get those influencers to talk about the films that are releasing. I think they just released a report about how Dune used, and this is not to make it about TikTok, it's just because I know it's controversial, but as an example of social media, they showed how many pieces of content Dune 2 released in order to engage people and keep hitting the message over and over again about the release. And then think creatively about that. I'd say make your film available for other people to engage. What I see over and over again is that we get such a limited amount of pieces. So we'll have a film come on and we'll request, you know, the EPK, the electronic press kit, some images, a poster, and sometimes we'll only get four images and like one trailer. And there's still a preciousness to edit any of those. And I think where I've seen other people be successful is sharing that. So here, take this image, edit it to like your audience, take this trailer and make your own clip or pull different clips. There's a director named Stephen Meyer who has a film called Woodbridge, and he's doing an incredible job pulling all these different short clips from the film, interviews with the cast, and just releasing it. And it does take a high volume of content to keep releasing that and to keep sharing with people and to keep kind of pounding that beat. So the last thing I'll say about audience is that it is a lot of work. It's not easy. It takes time. And I think if you're doing this active distribution, it is rewarding because you will get the payoff in the end. But it does take time, and it's not super easy. If it was easy, everyone would do it.
Well, let's talk about Woodbridge and using those clips. I've seen documentary filmmakers do this before to great success, where they would put a short 2-minute, 3-minute max on YouTube and drive people to their website to donate and become join the community around this film. And they've been very successful in raising money that way. Is that what he's doing, or is he doing it to collect audiences?
Yeah, he's doing it for marketing and for audience. And his is a feature-length scripted film that's kind of a high school coming-of-age sort of story, but it's really targeting a younger, like probably high school to college and a little bit older demographic as the story takes place in the 90s in high school. So he collected a lot of footage along the way and has been making like mini trailers for Instagram, the under 60-second ones, and just doing clips that help express the tone and the story in the film, and then also doing cast interviews, which you can do in such a low-lift manner. It's have someone in your cast talk to their phone video and say, here's why I'm excited about this film. That's a quick piece of content, and it's something you can put out, and they can put out to their following.
That's a great idea. Terrific, yeah. And even in a documentary, you can get the top people in various. Oh, you could get your doctor or your people that you use for your concrete information in your documentary and put them out there. Yes, that
exactly.
Would drive people to your website.
Yes. And I think there's
great.
Crowdfunding plays a really important role, too. If you have people that are coming in for, you know, $5, $10, $15 donations to put your production together, those are your super fans. So keep engaging them. So I do encourage crowdfunding not just to raise money, but it's a way to start engaging your fans earlier and bring them along for the ride. I think we're asking a lot of filmmakers. These are the creators. They're dreamers and creatives that have already just put together an incredible film and are now being told, now you need to be data marketers and advertisers. So I know it's a big thing to ask. One of the things we try and do on our platform is why we wanted to have a marketplace and a user-friendly destination is we do want to be an audience destination long-term. When someone comes in to watch one film on our platform, so long as they don't opt out, because, again, we care about privacy, we will share with them other similar films. Our hope is to build a bigger and better ecosystem of film lovers to help them discover stuff that's not going to be on the homepage of the major streaming platform. So we do want to help with that audience identification and reaching for the films that we work with.
Well, then you have your own list that you use also for people who come to you. You have a mailing list?
We do, yes, absolutely. We have a mailing list, and we know what, in a non-creepy way, we know what people have watched and what they're interested in. And we try to be very focused about what we market to them. They're not going to get an email every day. They don't even get an email every week, really. It's periodically when we think we have new films that they're interested in, then they will receive an email with some recommendations for events to attend. Or films to watch on rental or to book for an event based on their taste and past behavior. It's not to say they wouldn't like a film that's maybe in another category, just we're being kind of thoughtful about how we reach out right now to keep people engaged.
Wonderful. That's great. Well, now let's get into the money side. Do you work on a monthly payment system? So tell us how payment works.
Yes, absolutely. A few different levels. So first, we're built on the secure payments platform Stripe, so which has been fantastic to work with. And we have a couple of different options here. In short, as a user, it's a free account for everybody, whether you're a user, you're a host, or a filmmaker, anyone can sign up and go peruse the site to watch films. And there's actually a fair amount of free content on there. There's free events to go to. So we encourage everyone to start there. And if you are a filmmaker, then we do have a subscription cost, a filmmaker or distributor. We do charge a small monthly fee, depending on the length of the film, to use the technology, access the platform, and participate in the marketplace. And we do this for two specific reasons, because we try and lower the barrier of entry as much as possible. But there are some hard costs to securing or encoding and securing your film. We have DRM protections on your film. There's AWS fees just to upload and host, so there's hard costs there. Second, we do want to work with filmmakers who are actively involved in their film and believe their film or need their film to make money. So even by putting just a small $20 a month paywall, it does reduce the amount of people who come in, and we say that pretty frankly, because if you don't think your film can make $20 a month back, then we're probably not the right plot. And you can make that back in one licensing booking or a few rentals. And so that helps kind of filter in the right types of films. Because we also don't curate based on our own tastes. We have a code of conduct and we have community guidelines. We're thoughtful. We want to make sure no content is coming on the platform that will harm or has the intent to harm. But other than that, if you're a horror film or a documentary, short film or feature film, like, we want to support you in your film's release. So that's my long answer to the subscription fee for filmmakers. And then we do a revenue share on licensing. It's typically 80-20, 80% to the filmmaker, 20% to the platform, and that adjusts for scaling. So whether it's licensing fee for 5 people or 500 people, that fee is tied to the number of people. And then 10% of ticketing. So if a host is having an event and they don't pay that licensing fee, then they sell tickets instead. We do 10% for the platform fee, and then that remaining amount is split between the filmmaker and screening host, typically 50-50. And the last bit, because, we're extra complicated, is we do a 99-cent transaction fee for TVOD, so instead of a percentage, so just a flat 99 cents, whether your rental is $2, $10, or $20.
Okay. So it's a 99-cent transaction fee. Great. Okay.
That's
wow.
Correct.
This
yep.
is a lot. Great. It all sounds very
down.
Reasonable.
Yeah. I also could share this because I know it's a lot of, for me, I'm a visual learner, so I have everything written down and indexed. I'm happy to share too.
Okay, great. Well, let me ask you about some successful events you've had. Could you share some with us?
Sure. I'll give the caveat that we're transparent with our numbers and information with the filmmakers, and we also feel like this is the filmmaker's data and information. So I'll share some successes that are public and some I'll leave out their name because it's their story and their data, and there's reasons, and they might still be in private mode on our site. So I'll give one that is public because they're towards the end of their campaign, and it's a great documentary film called Spellers. And I absolutely love this film, but one of the things I loved about it is they came in, we still have a submission form just to do light filtering to make sure the films meet the code of conduct. But it was, they weren't going the traditional route. They were looking at doing one film fest. They did a film festival, and then we're looking at their schedule for the year and thinking, how do I just get this to our audience faster? And so, and I looked at the film like, oh, this is a great film. I've enjoyed it, but it seems, you know, it might be a smaller film, just based on what I'm seeing here. And they knocked it out of the park. The film team behind it, they knew exactly who their audience was. They had an email list ready to go. And they set it up to release through us last April. And about 2 months before, they sent an email blast to the network of curated organizations and partners. And they had, I don't know, I think maybe 200, 220 bookings instantly and immediately. And that film has continued to book maybe one or two screenings a week. They continue to have people coming to screenings of the film. It's an active and engaged audience, and it's working because people come, they see the film, they love the film, they want to have their own screening. And so it's spreading out from there, outside of its original intended audience. So that one we love and are so proud of and honored to be able to work with them and impressed by what they've done. And then
feature or doc?
Oh, yes, it's a documentary film that's a feature length, maybe, I'm not sure, 70 minutes?
Okay. And what's the subject matter?
It's about kids with autism, but specifically it's a type of education tool, if I'm using the right language, on how to work with kids who are nonverbal and have autism to use a sort of selling technique with their fingers to communicate all the incredible knowledge and the thinking and imagination that they have inside their heads but have been prevented from for not being able to communicate verbally. And so it's an incredible, beautiful film, great stories. The kids in the film are now older, but they're actively a part of the film, main characters in it. It's not just about the teachers and what they're teaching. And I think it's also partially educational. So if someone in your family is nonverbal, it's an interesting technique to learn and see if it would work for your family.
Wonderful. Yes, we have helped to produce autistic films that shared information on people changing diets and cleaning up their house from chemicals and things, and being able to move someone off of the spectrum through alternative means. So, yes, I definitely am happy to hear about this because that is a great group, the Autistic Mothers Group. They really stick together and support each other. So I can understand how you would be overwhelmed with people wanting to see that. That's great. So you have another you want to share?
I'll give one more because it's on the kind of opposite side, or it's a different approach. I'm going to leave the title off because she's still working on it. But it's a great film, really active filmmaker, has a very, very focused audience. It's a geographically wide audience. It is a film that I really enjoyed and loved. We kind of coined this term with both this filmmaker and two other filmmakers we're working with. And again, I can't share all their numbers because it is their numbers and they should get to release these on their own time. But we've been doing what we call film drops. So think of it like a merch drop or a sneaker drop, where you make the film of, you create this artificial scarcity and make the film available only for this one live viewing and nowhere else. And you don't know when the next one is, or only for a weekend of 4 days or 3 days, and you get something special at the end of it. And when you know exactly who your community is and you know they want to see it, and you're offering something special and early, and you're capping the audience at either 500, 1,000, I've seen 2,000, 3,000, you create this energy around it. And so we've had a few films now that have done this very successfully and bring in a fair amount of money by charging a ticket price of between $10 and $30. And what they do is, one, they can raise a fair amount of money. If you're charging $20 a ticket and you have 4,000 people come through and you're netting, in some of these cases, I think, 90%. So 90% of the ticket sales after our 10%, that's a decent amount of money. And that's funding then a theatrical release, an impact campaign, or paying back investors. So I can't give the individual titles. I can say those that have a documentary film, who know their audience well and have focused on them, have engaged them early, and then create this offering of, like, you get this film early, you get it before festival, or you get it right before theatrical, and then make it limited. We've seen amazing numbers for the filmmaker financially, for their audience develop in their email list, and it's a really cool experience for the audience to be able to be with people in community in that setting and to get something cool early.
That's marvelous. Do you ever have anyone do it free? Did they ever give it away? Tell us about that, because I've seen free turn into a lot of money.
I think you are actually exactly right. With another film, towards the end of last year, they were doing these live virtual events almost weekly, and they were free. They were free partially because of the topic and the engagement. There's a lot of interest in it, but they were trying to figure out how do they manage that? How do they connect with this audience in a meaningful way, given this topic? And so they had a sponsor come in and essentially say, we'll cover all of the, because we have hard costs for hosting. And so we have a system where you have a sponsor come in, and they offered it for free. So every week to every other week, they do a live stream and live conversation and have a couple thousand people show up and offer it for free. And over that, they did maybe 8 or 9 of those, and they built up a great email list. And that's an email list of people who saw something early, were engaged, and then continue to get engaged through this filmmaker's email and social. And so then when the film did drop and become available for a TVOD rental price, they had an audience that was ready to watch it again or maybe missed it the first time or could then share it with their friends and family. So, yes, I actually think free is a great way to do it if you can.
Great. Yes, because you can open up your marketplace and the names become very valuable to you, not just for this picture but for your future. Don't you find that people will follow filmmakers as long as the filmmaker stays in touch, right?
I do, yeah. I think we're all moved by stories. We're human beings. Stories impact us more than data. And I think when we feel like we get to know the story of someone behind the camera, whether it's the filmmaker or the participants or the actors, through social media influencers, there's something that happens to us psychologically that we feel more connected and more invested. We started calling what we do human-centered distribution a few years ago, because it's also important to remember these are not data points. They're not just email addresses. Yes, you have them in a spreadsheet. These are individuals that you want to remember to build a relationship. And when we look at our screening hosts, these are not just physical venues where, shoving a film in. This is an individual who's passionate about building community or passionate about a cause, and they're bringing that film and filmmaker in to create an incredible experience. We try and remember to ground ourselves, being in the tech space, that this is a human-centered distribution company.
Well, let me ask, what are your filmmakers saying about your services? They must love it.
I think so. I had a really wonderful phone call earlier today with a filmmaker who said that, yes, she'd heard about us because we had a good reputation. We used to say this at my last company, where our marketing strategy is do a good job, because word of mouth is so important. And filmmakers talk, the creative communities talk, radio shows like this and podcasts are such a service to the community to provide and share information. We won't be perfect. Technology will fail every once in a while. But, we think a pretty stellar job of providing an excellent platform and being supportive for what our filmmakers want and need. And anything we have built or evolved towards has been listening to that filmmaker creator community.
Wonderful. Well, we sincerely thank you for what you're doing, because I'm sure you're helping people focus on their audience and probably make a lot more money working with you than if they were on their own, right? I mean, a niche like your company can benefit people.
I like to think so. I think, again, I will give the credit to the film creators who've been working with, who get, you're exactly right, they know their audience. And so we take care of the boring stuff. We're the back office. We'll handle the film delivery. We'll handle customer service for your audience if they forgot their password, which is the number one issue we see on the platform, is people forgetting their password or typing in the wrong email address. We can handle all that stuff. So as a filmmaker, you can focus on the audience identification, building a relationship with that audience, and we'll do the boring behind-the-scenes stuff.
Wonderful. And what do you see as your future? Where are your expansion areas?
Oh, man. I love doing this kind of soothsaying, because the last few years it's been so hard to figure out where anyone's going in this space. So I think that there's a couple of things that we see. I think there is a movement. You're seeing it on the Hollywood level, the creator level, the indie filmmaker level, for artists to own more and have more access to have more transparency in their film's release. So keeping more of the rights to their film distribution, and then benefiting from that by getting either the audience data or building a relationship with their audience. So it's kind of a generalization. But I think that we built like what that future is. I wanted to see a streaming platform. It's not SVOD, it's TVOD, but a streaming platform that did data sharing with the film creator, that was transparent to the audience about where their information is going. And so I will still watch things on iTunes. I'll still watch things on Amazon. I love HBO and Max. I will still, of course, use those platforms. But I will use a platform like ours to as a preference point to watch films because I know where the money is going and I know where the information is going, and that is to support the film creator and a larger independent creator ecosystem.
Exactly. That's exactly what filmmakers need. Thank you so much, Christy. We really appreciate this information. Claire? I know you want to thank Christy. We really appreciate your devotion to filmmakers.
Oh, absolutely. I get to watch great films.
Yes.
Wonderful.
And I also would like to know if there are any more new projects that are coming up that we have not already talked about. Please keep us posted.
Oh, sure, like in terms of film?
Oh,
yes.
Actually, there's one right now. If you haven't seen, I love this. I love a good historical doc. So Crossing the River, great short doc that's on our platform right now. It's relevant. It's interesting. I love it. We work with distributors, too, so we have a whole library from Greenwich and Magnolia. You can go on our platform and watch those as well. We are about to launch with the film Woodbridge. We've got a few weeks out from that one, but I'd say you know, follow Woodbridge on socials to stay tuned on when that one's coming out, and that'll be a fun and intense scripted film.
This is scripted. Wonderful. Woodbridge.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Sounds wonderful.
Well,
thank you.
And great, also Philadelphia 11, I forgot. They just did an amazing live event last Friday that was completely sold out and like way oversubscribed. And we were, so hopefully there'll be another event soon. But Philadelphia 11, great documentary film.
Oh, great documentary, Philadelphia 11. Okay, we'll look for that. So let's have your website again so people can hear it.
Absolutely. It's kinema.com. It's spelled like cinema, but with a K.
Kinema.com. All right. And you can just join as a viewer, and that's a free thing?
Yes, absolutely. You just go on. Just create an account, and you can peruse around and see what events are free.
Wonderful. Okay. Thank you so much, Christy. Best of luck to this organization and to you personally.
Awesome. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure. Thank you for hosting the show and sharing information with everybody.
Yes, we love letting filmmakers know what benefits them, and this is a great benefit. Thank you, Claire.
Oh, you're welcome. Always a pleasure.
Okay, bye
All
for
right.
now.
And bye.
Thanks
Be
so much.
Well, everyone.
Thank you.
Now, in its second edition, Carol Dean's popular book, The Art of Film Funding, has 12 new chapters to cover all areas of film financing and how to avoid expensive pitfalls. Learn how to start with an idea and end with a trailer. How to make an ask for money. Create your story structure and your trailer. Legal advice. Fair use. Successful crowdfunding. How to ask for music rights. And what insurance you can't shoot without. Available on Amazon under Carol Dean and at FromTheHeartProductions.com. I want to remind our listeners that David Raiklin is a brilliant and talented award-winning musician who scores films and can compose music for a trio or for a full orchestra. David is a very good friend to the independent filmmaker and comes highly recommended by From the Heart Productions. If you need music to help tell your story, please contact him at davidraiklin.com. That's David, RAIKLEN.com. And Carol and I want to thank you for tuning in to The Art of Film Funding. Please visit our website at FromTheHeartProductions.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good luck with your films, everyone.